WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's cloudy and 38 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly cloudy skies this morning with occasional light drizzle or light rain, a high around 46. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, the Adair County Board of Supervisors will hold their regular weekly session this morning instead of Wednesday in Greenfield. On their agenda at 10 a.m. is a closed session to discuss some matters in litigation with Iowa Communities Assurance Pool, or ICAP, representative and attorney Michelle Rodemeyer, Cass Adair County Engineer Charles Marker, and County Attorney Mike Maines. The regular session begins at 9 a.m. and will include an update from County Conservationist Kevin Blazik on the Orient Lake Safe House and Shower Building and a request for a letter of support. Cass Adair County Engineer Charles Marker will also present the board with a road closure resolution for them to sign and right-of-way contracts for bridge replacement projects, along with his regular activities and road maintenance reports. More news in just a moment. News time is 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
The Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will gather in the High School Media Center this evening for a work session. During their 7:30 p.m. meeting, the board will discuss graduation and dropout rates, current and new interventions at the Atlantic High School, progress being made at the Cass County Educational Opportunity Center and Hospital School, and what's needed for future planning. Elsewhere in Western and Northwest Iowa news, a 39-year-old man faces two counts of attempted murder and other charges, accused of running down two men with his car at a rural residence in Northwest Iowa. Authorities say Luke Clark of Pomeroy was arrested Saturday morning. He'd gotten into a dispute with a man about the treatment of a dog at a rural home south of Palmer in Pocahontas County. Authorities say Clark drove his vehicle into the two men as they were standing in a driveway, injuring both. His bail has been set at $60,000. One person was killed and another injured during a crash in western Iowa's Monona County last night. State Patrol says 29-year-old Robert Palmer of Mapleton died when the car he was a passenger in was hit by a truck in Mapleton. The driver of the car, 27-year-old Lenley Schofield Jr. of Sioux City, was injured and transported to the hospital in Ottawa. Neither man was wearing a seatbelt. The driver of the truck, 24-year-old Joseph Daggett of George, was not injured. Officials say at around 9:40 p.m., the Oldsmobile left a gas station in Mapleton, heading south on Highway 141. But Schofield Jr. apparently did not have control of the car, which swerved as he continued south on 141. The vehicle crossed the center line of the road and was hit on the passenger side doors by the northbound truck. The force of the impact pushed the car onto a curb at the northeast corner of the intersection of Sioux Street on Highway 141. A northeast Nebraska man has pleaded guilty to two counts of motor vehicle homicide and one count of drunken driving in connection with an accident that killed two Wayne State College students near Emerson, Nebraska. 55-year-old Robert Mahler of Hubbard, Nebraska, pleaded guilty Monday in Dixon County District Court. His sentencing is set for January 23rd. Authorities say Mahler was driving drunk on the night of September the 9th on the wrong side of Nebraska Highway 9 when he hit an oncoming motorcycle. Two people on the cycle were killed, including 20-year-old Christopher Oberg of Mapleton, Iowa, and his passenger, 19-year-old Alexis Calfee of Bennett, Nebraska. Authorities said that Mahler's blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit. He faces a sentence of anywhere from 1 to 50 years in prison on each of the vehicular homicide charges. Authorities say no one was injured and no damage was done inside the Sioux City Museum when a fire broke out behind the building. The museum in downtown Sioux City was evacuated Sunday afternoon after smoke set off the fire alarms, along with a sprinkler on the exterior of the building. Visitors on the second floor reported smelling smoke. Fire officials found the fire at a loading dock behind the museum. The cause is under investigation. Well, enrollments at the state's 15 community colleges dropped just under 1% in the fall. Iowa Department of Education consultant Tom Schenck says the drop is not surprising.
Over the last couple of years, we've seen some pretty large enrollment in community colleges. 2 years ago, enrollment increased over 14%. Last year, enrollment increased almost 6%. And so we actually expected this decline. As more people came to community colleges, it was mostly because of the economy. And students were able to graduate, to transfer, to go back into the workforce, and so the enrollment declined this year.
While the overall enrollment dropped just 0.6%, enrollment in the health sciences dropped 6%, and business management and administration program enrollment dropped 4%.
Those saw some big increases over the last couple of years, as more students are coming back to the community colleges. A lot of them going into those programs. Conversely, manufacturing saw an increase this year, and over the last couple of years, for some pretty good reasons, because of the high unemployment, enrollment in manufacturing was going down. So a lot of what's happening this year is just offsetting the large enrollment growth that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Schenck says this year's drop follows some historical patterns.
Community colleges were instituted in the state in their current form in 1965, and enrollment has only dropped five times since then over that 46-year history. And every single time that enrollment has dropped, it came after a recession and after large increases of enrollment. And so this is much what we kind of expected to see.
Schenck says they don't think this is the start of a trend.
Next year, our projections show enrollment's going to increase to a little over 110,000 students. Now, that's not guaranteed to happen, and it depends on the economy and a lot of other factors. But we actually expect the community college enrollment to start to increase again.
There were just under 106,000 community college students enrolled when the heads were counted this fall. The Iowa Community College's Fall Enrollment Report 2011 is available on the department's website at www.educateiowa.gov/CC publications. Lawyers made opening arguments in a case that will determine whether Governor Branstad has the authority to close offices around the state that provided services to out-of-work Iowans. Mark Hedberg, a lawyer for the state employees union that filed the lawsuit, argues it was unconstitutional for the governor to item veto language that would have kept the Iowa Workforce Development offices open while using the money legislators set aside to run those offices for another purpose.
In this case, he could take the money that was appropriated to keep offices open and turn around and use it to shut them down. Just the opposite of what the legislature intended.
Richard Sapp, who is Branstad's attorney, says a governor's authority to use his or her item veto authority is at stake in this case.
And certainly the governor's right to have a significant role in the control of expenditures, which is the purpose of the item veto.
Sapp also argues the decision on this spending was made in the waning hours of the 2011 legislative session, when lawmakers sometimes don't even know what's in a bill.
That's what, in part, the item veto is designed to guard against, is not allowing policy provisions that have less than full support from nevertheless getting enacted.
But the attorneys, union's attorney sharply disagree. He said that lawmakers made it very clear they wanted to keep those offices open.
It was a broad support and bipartisan. Democrats and Republicans both voted for it.
The judge promised a timely ruling in the case, as many of the offices have been closed in the past few months. State officials have instead placed computer stations in nearly 400 different sites, including libraries, schools, and National Guard armories, to provide job search services to the unemployed. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, stocks are poised for a mixed opening today. The Dow fell 249 points yesterday as a congressional panel failed to reach a deal to cut budget deficits. The impasse raised fears of the U.S. government's credit rating might be at risk. But after the markets closed, Standard & Poor's said the credit rating wasn't affected by the failure. Still, it added that the current rating is based on the expectation that automatic cuts will take effect as planned in 2013. And some Republicans have vowed to block some of those cuts. Police in Florida are searching for an Orlando woman who went missing after appearing with an ex-boyfriend on an episode of The People's Court. Family members told the Orlando Sentinel they believe Michelle Parker was carjacked shortly after her appearance on the show last Thursday. Parker sent a text message to a family member later that afternoon indicating she was in Orlando. Her SUV was found Friday in Orlando. Parker has an 11-year-old son. The father of her 3-year-old twins is the ex-boyfriend who appeared on television with her. And Americans who cook from scratch this Thanksgiving will be better able to keep down the level of salt in their holiday meal. That's according to a dietitian with the American Diabetic Association, or Dietetic Association. From the stuffing mix to the green bean casserole to the pumpkin pie, a lot of people can easily reach their daily sodium allotment, or more, in that one big meal. Among the tips for cooks, start with a homemade cornbread for stuffing and try using onion, garlic, and other herbs in place of salt. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In the funeral announcements, Ioma M. Neighbors, age 96, of Anita, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. A coffee and fellowship in honor of Ioma Neighbors will be today at 2 o'clock at the Anita Community Center. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. George J. Oakley, age 86, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for George Oakley will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Carla K. Gustafson, age 70, of Kirkman, died Saturday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Carla Gustafson will be held this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And Eileen L. Jensen, age 92, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Friendship Home. Celebration of Life services for Eileen Jensen will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.